No war is ever over until both sides decide to stop fighting. And that, my friends, might have just happened. Let's talk about it on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Good news, folks. The United States just signed a peace deal with the Taliban to end the conflict in Afghanistan after 18 years. Now, you're going to hear a lot about this on the news, and you're going to hear a lot of criticism for this plan. But let me just tell you my thoughts really quickly, because having made at least a dozen trips over there since the war began, and having just been there last August, and I think if you've been watching the podcast, you remember me saying when I left there last time that this would very likely be the last time that I ever embedded with U.S. forces in Afghanistan. And I'm glad to see that it's finally ending. Now, look, the Obama administration tried to end the war in Afghanistan, but they did it. They went about it all wrong. You cannot, and I've said this over and over again, you cannot end a war by simply declaring it over, because the enemy has a say in whether or not the war is over. And so by Barack Obama just arbitrarily stopping fighting, all that did was enable the Taliban to take over a good three quarters of the country again and kind of put us back where we started almost. But during the Trump administration, we have worked very hard, and in reality, throughout the, three administrations since the beginning of the war, we have worked very hard, and we've put a lot of blood and treasure into Afghanistan to try to get the Afghan government strong enough to take charge of their own future. But they had some very important reasons why they didn't want to do that. First of all, they're getting a lot of money from the United States. $1 billion a week, kind of hard to give that up. If they see the American troops leave, Afghans who have supported the Americans could see themselves having lots of problems with, like, the Iranians, who, again, if we just walk out, one of the things we're going to do is leave a power vacuum that Iran would desperately like to walk into. And anybody who has supported the United States is going to be in danger. And so those guys, last time I talked to them, they all had plans to go to Qatar and escape if the United States leaves. Now, the last thing is the Taliban can't be trusted. We've never really been able to trust them. However, we put some real conditions on this. And so first of all, I want you to listen to what Mike Pompeo had to say about the agreement that was just signed with the Taliban. Check this out.
We are seizing the best opportunity for peace in a generation, built on the hard work of our soldiers, diplomats, businessmen, aid workers, friends, and the Afghans themselves. This effort only became real for the United States when the Taliban signaled interest in pursuing peace and ending their relationship with Al-Qaeda and other foreign terrorist groups. They also recognized that military victory was impossible.
So Pompeo is being kind of circumspect here. He's saying, look, you know, we're going to give this a try. We want to make this work, but it's up to the Taliban whether or not it's going to work or not. And if it doesn't work, we're going to stay. So our withdrawal is going to be contingent on what the Taliban choose to do here. And so he next just called out the Afghan people and said, look, it's up to you to hold the Taliban accountable.
We recognize America shouldn't fight in perpetuity in the graveyard of empires if we can help Afghans forge peace. And we have respect. We believe that the Afghan people are ready to chart their own course forward. Today, following the first ever week-long break in fighting in nearly 19 years, I'm proud to announce that the United States has secured separate commitments from the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan and the Taliban to hold negotiations for peace. Very importantly, the U.S.-Taliban agreement entails a promise from the Taliban that terrorists can never again operate from Afghan soil.
So I don't think Pompeo or Donald Trump have visions of grandeur here or think that this is just going to all go very simply. But I think they did realize that, look, we've got to end this war. I mean, it's America's longest running war ever in history. And we can keep pumping money into Afghanistan forever until we go bankrupt. And it's not going to change the situation. That there is not a military solution to this. And you heard Pompeo say that that a military solution was impossible on the part of the Taliban. But I think we had to realize also that a military solution was impossible. And that's what we've done. We're acknowledging that it's going to take a diplomatic solution here. And so we've got to get started on that process of weaning the Afghan government off of our support and making them stand on their own 2 feet and making them deal with the Taliban in whatever way they're going to deal with them. So we gave the Taliban a week. We said, look, can you just not blow anything up for a week? And if you can, then we can come to the table. Well, they didn't blow anything up for a week. So if they can make it a week, they've proven that they can do it if they want to. And obviously the Taliban wants us out of there. Now, get ready for the Taliban and the left both to declare that the Taliban have won the war. That's not the case. I think that it's very important to point out and to continue to point out that no matter what the outcome in Afghanistan, that it has been worth it, that our troops have not died in vain. We haven't spent all this blood and treasure in vain, if for no other reason, for the principle of the thing, to let the world know and any other potential enemies we might have to know that if you hit us, we will come after you and we will go to the mat and we will do whatever it takes, including staying in your country for 18 years and spending $1 billion a week in the process to make sure that you pay for hitting our country. It's a great deterrent to enemies around the globe. And so every combat death, every American troop who spent time in Afghanistan can never say that he wasted his time over there, because we have proven to the world the depths of our commitment to keeping our people safe. If nothing else, we've done that. Now, there are a lot of Afghans who are still leaving their country and trying to get into Europe, and they've been stuck in Turkey for some time because of agreements that Turkey has made with the rest of the EU. But after Syria attacked and killed a bunch of Turkish soldiers inside Syria last week, all of a sudden now Erdogan has decided to open the floodgates and let these migrants head north into Europe. And that's causing some real consternation inside the EU right now.
It is a very dangerous development. The HRVP already made his opinion known about this when he tweeted that the ongoing escalation around Idlib is a very dangerous escalation and needs to stop urgently. There is a risk of sliding into a very dangerous and major open international military confrontation. So we are urging all parties to de-escalate, to stop the ongoing hostilities and ongoing confrontations, not only because it's causing a lot of destruction, but it's causing unspeakable human suffering of the civilians, mainly the civilian population, in Idlib, which then turns into refugees and is pushed further either to Turkey or then from Turkey away.
So most of these migrants are leaving Turkey and they're going into Greece, which borders Turkey. And so Turkey is rushing to close its borders, sending its Coast Guard and its military down to the border, deploying them along the border and to try to keep these people out. Migrants gathered at the border between Turkey and Greece on Saturday and are trying to enter Europe after Erdogan declared that the country's borders with Europe are now open. Now, obviously, this is going to be really bad for Greece, but there are a lot of people who've been suffering in Turkey as well. So what we're seeing here is that Erdogan is trying to weaponize the migrants that are in his country against Europe, to force Europe and maybe even the United States to support him and what he's doing in trying to take over parts of Syria.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Now, if you remember back in November when I was in Syria, Erdogan was pushing troops south into Syria to try to create a buffer zone where he said that he was going to relocate some of the Syrian refugees that had been living in Turkey for some time. Now, these refugees weren't from the area he was taking over, and they were pushing other people out of that area, but Donald Trump didn't want to get involved. He pulled U.S. troops out of the region before kind of having to backtrack and put them back in kind of quietly. But suffice it to say that neither Europe nor the United States has been supporting Turkey in this invasion, and nor should they, because what they're doing is they're killing and murdering our allies, the Kurds and the Syrian Democratic Forces. Now, Turkey ostensibly is an ally, but you realize how complex that is because they were allies before Erdogan got into power. Erdogan is straight up Muslim Brotherhood, and that's bad. So basically, suffice it to say, Erdogan is basically saying to Europe, you guys had better support me on taking over Idlib and taking over Syria, or I'm going to unleash millions of refugees on Europe, and that's going to be bad for you. Add to that the whole COVID virus, and can you imagine infected people, outbreaks in Syria? They don't have any medical care, killing lots of people, and then those people trying to migrate illegally into Europe through Greece. This is obviously a major, major concern. And the best thing we could do is really clamp down on Turkey. So we're seeing a ton of Afghan migrants making their way into Europe when now peace has been declared in Afghanistan. So I doubt they have any plans to make their way back to Afghanistan now that things are going to get better. The pullout on the U.S. part is contingent on peace, on it remaining peaceful, contingent on the Taliban not supporting terrorism and things like that. That's good. And again, to all those naysayers you're going to hear on the news saying, well, we're not really leaving because we're still leaving our troops there. Just remember, it took 7 years before the United States pulled out of Japan after Japan capitulated in World War II. We occupied Japan for 7 years until 1952. And indeed, we actually still have troops there today. So the fact that there may still be some small contingent of troops on the ground in Afghanistan for the foreseeable future is not a bad thing. We need to have troops there to bracket Iran and to be able to kind of keep a lid on the machinations that they're going to make in Afghanistan, the way that they're going to try to come in and exert their power in Afghanistan. So we need that. And that's not a bad thing. But is this a win for America? I think most people in America are going to say bringing most of our troops home and stopping spending so much money in Afghanistan is a good thing. And it fulfills one of Donald Trump's campaign promises that he made to get us out of these quote-unquote endless wars. We can all pray that that will actually work out the way that everybody hopes and that we won't ever have to go back in there again. All right, that's all I've got for today. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. I'm Chuck Holton. Please share with your friends, and you can go to patreon.com/hotzone if you want to support the podcast. Please do that. patreon.com/hotzone. One more time, patreon.com/hotzone. Go. Now. Take care.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.